And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking education on this weekend show. Students will be heading back to the classroom shortly, August 18th. Some of the schools will first start going back to the classrooms, and then the following week, many others will head back to school. Talking with Kathy Parker, Superintendent of Schools. Superintendent Parker, during the first segment, we talked a lot about COVID. During the last segment, we talked about mental health and a grant specifically in regards to that. Any other grants or initiatives that your office is working on?
Yes, we were just renewed for another three-year, another competitive grant called the Learning Communities for School Success Grant. That is a wonderful grant because it brings in all of our district partners where we can support the districts with resources, including funding, to put in place initiatives around alcohol and drug education, positive behavior interventions, increase attendance and graduation rates, reduce chronic absenteeism and dropout rates. And each school has developed their own program around that. Some of them do practices like mindfulness techniques that help reduce that. Snor Els actually hired a social emotional learning coordinator, from my understanding. Some of them implement PBIS to help provide positive behavior interventions for students. Some of our districts hire behavior analysts to help come in and work with families outside of the school environment. So the grant was written in order to provide districts the opportunity to develop their own unique programs to support students. So that is one that really just captures the sense of collaboration that goes on between our schools in Tuolumne County.
What have you noticed when it comes to enrollment trends for Tuolumne County schools?
Well, last year we had a dip, and we expected that. We lost about 300 to 350 students. And when I say lost, that means that some of our students at that time, which was an October count, and things have changed since then, they were moving either into a homeschool environment, they were moving into a private school environment, and then we noticed a drop in our kindergarten enrollment. A lot of families chose to keep their child out of kindergarten because we started the year and distance learning. We recovered quite a few of those numbers as the year went on, and we saw that enrollment trends were edging up. And I expect at the time we were just below 6,000 students. We dropped to about 5,700 some students. And then we expect to be up closer to that just under 6,000 student count when the October count happens.
What would you say are some of the biggest challenges right now facing education, especially locally here in the Motherlode?
So while the increase in funding has been a blessing in a lot of ways, it provides a lot of cushion. That is one-time funding. So it's very difficult to spend those funds on resources, especially around personnel, because in a couple of years that funding disappears. So while it's a blessing, it can be a curse in that it's a challenge to spend those dollars wisely. It's also a challenge because all of these funding sources are coming from a variety of agencies, and each of them have their own reporting requirements, their own timelines, and they're evolving and changing. It's a lot for our business offices to keep track of. They're very supportive with each other, but it is a lot. So while the funding is stable in regards to at least the next 2 years, and we'll be fine financially, it's a long-term game that we have to look at and make sure that we're providing enough cushioning for when that funding dries up, and if this state does go into a recession at some point, do we have the resources to manage that?
I remember prior to COVID, there were, maybe two or three schools that were having financial challenges and being looked at. Is it different now, as you mentioned, because there's a big influx of state funding related to COVID, that it's easier for districts to keep running right now?
Well, yeah, the one-time funding certainly helps, and it also gives them time to look at anything that might be structurally, what we call a structural deficit. So they'll have an opportunity to put in places reductions or changes to programs in order that when that one-time funding goes away, they can actually manage their budgets. And so we're going to work very closely with all of our districts to make sure that long-term they're healthy financially.
Any other things we haven't talked about on this weekend show that your office is keeping a close eye on?
Well, I just wanted to say just a wish to everyone. We're excited to start the school year with in-person full-day instruction. And that's really important to remember. We're in a very different place than we were last year, and that's what we're keeping our eye on. That's what we want to do. Full day in-person instruction. I think that we have a lot of innovative, expanded, and new programs to support the families and students of Tuolumne County. I know districts have been working nonstop around the clock over the summer to get their facilities ready for the arrival of students, because that has been something we have been looking forward to all year. I know the educators that I've spoken with, from the bus drivers to the people who are preparing lunches, instructional aides, teachers, administrators. They're excited for the return of school. It's a different feeling than definitely last year. We are so excited to be able to do this. I hosted, our office puts on every year a Mad About Science Camp, and this year we kept it small with fourth and fifth graders, and we had about 120 of them out there masked. Everyone was masked, and they were having an amazing time. You might not have seen their smiles on their mask, but you saw their smiles in their eyes, and they just had a fantastic time. They're excited to be back and learning. And one initiative my office has really taken to heart this year, we talked about how in social emotional learning we need to develop a sense of belonging, and that's our theme this year, is a sense of belonging and bringing our community together to support all of our students as we start the school year. So really focusing on making sure everyone feels that sense of belonging.
How about school lunches? You mentioned those. I heard that those are free this year across the board. Is that true for students?
Right. If a student wants a lunch or a breakfast, if a breakfast program is provided, it's available for them. No application needed.
And this year, and there's no hybrids or anything like that? Is it's open across the board for all of our public schools?
If somebody wants to attend school in person, they are, please come. Independent study programs have changed a little bit in order to offer a distance learning option for parents who want to exercise that. Not quite the same and as robust as distance learning as last year, but we're willing to meet parents where they are in order to provide education for their kids. And all districts are participating in some form or fashion for that.
You know, with all the changes you had to endure throughout the education system last year, were there a lot of things you learned from going through the COVID-19 pandemic?
I learned that never rely upon the state to come out with timely advice or guidance without expecting a change a few days or sometimes a few hours later. And so having those partnerships already in place to rely upon each other to be able to implement and to be able to provide services in schools, that's where the real impact happens. So don't rely upon the state or the federal government or any kind of external agencies to do that. It really is the partnerships within the community that make it happen. And so I always knew that, but I didn't realize how much that was of importance until this year when we actually had to rely so heavily upon each other.
Was connectivity a challenge during those periods last year when schools were doing distance learning?
Connectivity was and still remains an issue, and it really has to do with that last mile, or the, I believe it's also called the middle part. So while a lot of initiatives and money is being spent toward expanding internet access, what it comes down to is that if we can't get it out to the outer parts of our community, and even some places, I think even there are parts of downtown Sonora that are pretty spotty with wireless and internet access, we're still struggling to provide that.
And before I let you go, you know, for anybody who's unfamiliar, what are all the different things that your office oversees?
That's another show, PJ. So we have basically two parts to the county office. On one part, we provide services and support to districts through special education services. So we run programs for moderately to severely disabled students. We run the school and the juvenile detention facility. We provide a community school. We provide independent study options for students across the county in collaboration with their school districts. We provide professional development and a whole other array of services. On the other end, for our oversight, we provide what is called AB 1200 oversight. And so that is the part that I was talking about when we do fiscal review of school districts to make sure that they are financially sound, not just this current year, but 3 years out. We provide all payroll services for all of our districts in our county, AP services, so we have an extensive business department. We provide credentialing services for our districts through our HR department, and also ways to provide support for new people who want to become teachers and people who are new to teaching. And then our last oversight that we're engaged in currently is doing our local control accountability plan reviews right now. And so those are not just the budget, but how are they using those dollars to make sure they are compliant with the laws that have created the LCAP review process.
Well, I appreciate the crib note version of all the things that your office does.
That was a short version.
Have to end on that note, Superintendent Parker. Thank you for coming in. It's exciting, a new school year, different challenges from a year ago, but still new challenges moving forward. Thanks for getting us up to speed on everything happening.
You're very welcome.
Again, we thank Kathy Parker for being our guest on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.